smoking dank Sinatra, that's all gas. On the hunt in the tall grass. Intercepting every ball pass, then I run it back, that's a TD. Check the scoreboard, y'all last. We up one, you see me. Pussy niggas wanna talk about it, go to Hellcat, no demon. I be politicking on your broadcast at the red carpet like the famous homie. Ask your bitch really famous, homie, and you know it's in me. It ain't on me. So creative like I made Adobe. I've been balling like I play with Kobe.
What's the deal? What's the deal? Politicking the podcast. We back again live Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So let's get to these topics, man. We're talking about CP3 to the Warriors, man. So what will CP3's role be with the Warriors? The Team USA is in the FIBA World Championship right now. And half of the guys on the roster, I don't even know who they are. NFL, let's get to the NFL predictions, man. Who will win the Super Bowl this year? Tory Lanez has officially been sentenced to 10 years in prison for his shooting of Megan Thee Stallion. And we got to talk about this Alabama boat brawl, man. Got the whole world going crazy, man. So we got to get to it. So what's the deal, man? We got Yazzie Katie. We got Devontae. What's the deal?
Man,
yo, you got the Suarez boys up in here, bro. This is crazy. Full of shout out to Apple Juice.
You know what I'm saying? Missed y'all
this
last.
Is Apple Juice, ladies. Come back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this man.
Product placement right there. So what's y'all thoughts, man, on this Warriors, man? Should Chris Paul come off the bench? Should you move Chris Paul into the starting lineup? And let maybe a Looney or Draymond Green come off the bench, let Draymond be the spark. What are y'all thoughts on this whole situation? And what y'all think that the Warriors are going to end up doing?
CP3 need to come off the bench. Let's get right to it. CP3 needs to come off the bench. Like, I think, you know, I think it was just probably a week or two ago, me and, you know, DeAndre's brother was talking about this, man. Y'all, we was just talking about this. Like, and I just felt like, you know, it's an interesting pickup. I want to see how it all works. It's a veteran squad. I wish nothing but the best for the Warriors. It's an interesting pickup. But I would think CP3 comes off the bench and help whatever that second unit's going to look like. And as long as you got Steph Curry, you're always going to make some noise. Klay Thompson, if he can get back to whatever Klay's supposed to look like. And Draymond does Draymond things, I think the Warriors will find a way to be all right. The CP3 needs to come off the bench. It's not even a question. To see a lineup at some point, I know they will, with you'll have those four in. So, but yeah, it's not a question. CP3 needs to come off the bench.
I ditto that. I mean, for the simple reason of what the Warriors need to do, and I will always talk about it on here, they need to take the Derrick Rose approach, ladies and gentlemen. And the Derrick Rose approach is CP3. It's time for some of these stars to start coming off the bench. Uh-huh. CP3 is not a superstar anymore, but he is still better than most bench players. And why I say they need to take the Derrick Rose approach is when you think about a couple of seasons ago with the New York Knicks, they weren't going to make the playoffs. They put Derrick Rose on their bench, and they ended up the fourth seed in the East, and he averaged 19 points off the bench for them, and he was better off the bench because he wasn't star level anymore. So they need to do the same approach with CP3. Have him come off the bench. This is going to do two things for you. First thing is going to do for you is CP3 is 38 years old. 38 years old. Last two seasons. Last season, he averaged about 59 games. The season before that, it was 65 games. And he's averaging 32 minutes a game. That means his body is shutting down on him. Take the Derrick Rose approach. Come off the bench. You're going to save CP3, then you might have a healthy CP3 for the whole playoffs. The Suns didn't get that. Nobody gets that. Nobody's getting a healthy CP3, right? So you get a healthy CP3 in the playoffs, hopefully. But what that really does, that allows you to rest Steph Curry. Steph Curry don't have to play as many minutes because now you have CP3 running the bench. You still will have, you keep your core together. Steph Curry, you, Klay Thompson, Wiggins, Green, and Looney. That is your core. You keep that together and you have somebody, a bona fide, somebody that's not a bench player. He is better than a bench player. He could even probably win sixth man of the year, right? So he's better than a bench player, but he's not at that star level no more. So let him come off the bench. But he got to be humbled enough to be like, I will come off the bench. That's the thing. Or he going to end up like Carmelo Anthony.
Speaking of that, man, when he did his interview, when he first took his first media interview with the Warriors, to ask him about possibly having a role coming off the bench, and he laughed and said, me coming off the bench, just like Melo did, it was oddly similar. And I'm like, come on, don't make the same mistake that Melo did. I mean, Melo Hall of Fame career, but looking at players that's on the roster now, shit, Udonis Haslam just retired. I mean, proof, if you got the right attitude, you can stay in this league as long as you want. You know what I'm saying? If you provide that value. But I think that Chris Paul, I think they're going to find a way to try to start him just to appease him, just like the Lakers did with Russell Westbrook. And then when it doesn't work, they're going to say, look, bro, we tried it. It didn't work. Here it is. And you just don't have to accept it. You know what I'm saying? Russell Westbrook accepted the vet minimum to stay with the Clippers. And you know what I'm saying? He's accepted this new part of his career. And I amend him for that. You know what I'm saying? He's really going to step it up this year just because he truly understands who he is now and he truly understands his role with the Clippers. And I think that that's what Chris Paul is going to go through this year. Is he going to start off starting, then eventually they're going to bring him off the bench because it's not going to work out. Then somebody will get injured, Klay or Steph, where he can get in that starting lineup and get some extended games where he starts 20-25 games this year. But as far as him going into the playoffs as a starter on the Warriors, I just don't see it. I mean, maybe they go to their death lineup where they bring him in at point and put Draymond in that center, take Looney out. But I think that the Warriors with Looney in was, what, one of the top, you know what I'm saying, starting lineups in the league. And to break up that chemistry would be dumb. So I just think that Steve Kerr, he's going to start off giving in, but ultimately he's going to have to move Chris Paul to the bench, man. Hopefully he don't go out like Melo, man. He actually accept the role and he sees what it could do for his career, especially if he could find a way to get a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, he either comes off the bench or gets traded, because if you just go off of last year, I'm sorry to say, Looney had a more productive season and playoffs than Chris Paul did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's why we're saying it all. Like, he has to come off the bench. I think ultimately, the flip side of it, if he does fall into that role, I think I don't have them as a title favorite. It's a lot with this season. I want to see how teams do. It's just to get that first 20 to 40 games in the season to see. But like the Warriors, and you never know until the playoffs too, the other side of that. But the Warriors are still that team just because the veterans they have. I do think that's a team that you would want to play in the playoffs first round, because just the experience, if it gels right, and that's the part of it, if it gels right. And the experience of that team can be something. But my concern with the Warriors, they couldn't win on the road last year. So I don't see how CP3 fixed that problem. You know, I think a lot of they were like great at home, but they had like one of the worst road records in the league. So that's the thing. So that's
what I mean. I just kind of see the fit in the way that they like to play Steph Curry off of the ball.
Mm.
The problem is what was his name that got traded?
Jordan Poole.
The problem with Jordan Poole is he had too quick of a trigger, kind of like a J.R. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Or you give him the ball, and instead of waiting for stuff to develop, he'd just jack up a deep three or go do some crazy stuff. And when it worked and they got a championship, it was no problem. They gave him the bag. But ultimately, he, you know what I'm saying, he was a detriment to the team, and that's why they had to get him out of there. I don't think Chris Paul was really the fit. I think that getting Jordan Poole out of there was more of an emphasis as far as team chemistry, and it was a priority. And if we get Chris Paul for a rental for 1 year and it don't work, you know what I'm saying, we can go back to the drawing board next year.
Yeah, I think, but it goes back to what you said too, though. Like, that's why I'm saying I'm interested to see what it looks like. I think they're dangerous in the playoffs because if he's starting off saying, me, come off the bench, that's all. I mean, through the history of the me come off the bench, if we had a starting roster of people who say me come off the bench, like, I mean, shoot, we got a Hall of Fame team. And I just think that's where
Allen Iverson, Carmelo Anthony,
Westbrook, CP3, heck, you know what I'm saying? Dwight for a minute, you know what I'm saying? Like, it the list goes on. But I do agree overall, like, with both of y'all, I think he needs to come off the bench. I do give them the credit because you have your core. So in the playoffs, it is, you know, it's like this. I'm going to say this, the other side of that. It's like when we're starting the season, like right now, everybody keeps talking like Denver and everybody else. Like, and that's given. I'm always going to give the champion that follow-up. To me, the next dangerous team in the West is the Clippers. It really is. And that's from a Laker fan.
It's the Grizzlies, baby.
It's the Clippers because it's like the Lakers being healthy, but the thing is, Clippers have youth on it, and if they get that Harden trade, it's just seeing how that gels and that goes. I personally don't think they should do the Harden trade. I think they should just roll with it and just see what they can do. But so you have those teams coming back, and then the Warriors without that Jordan Poole situation, a full season. So it's like a lot of things that can happen there, and then the Suns, of course, you can't forget the Suns. But it's an wow, interesting season next year. But I think
disrespectful to the Grizzlies. You guys are just disrespectful to the Grizzlies. I mean, wow, just disrespectful.
About the Guns and Roses tour.
Over there and start 20 games. You happy?
Guns and Roses. Let's keep in mind. Derrick Rose averaged 19 points, ladies and gentlemen. Last time he played in a game. Let's keep in mind he scored 19 points a game, ladies and gentlemen. So, and you still keep your core. Let's keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that they picked up Marcus Smart as well. They need experience. And now you're saying that the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be number 6 in the league? 25 games? You can lose all 25 games and still make the playoffs.
Lakers are a proof of that. I just want to throw that out there. You can be a loser.
All right, man. So speaking of the NBA, man, moving on from the older stars to these younger cats.
Let's go.
We got the USA team playing in the FIBA championship right now. And as you look at this roster, you know, Brandon Ingram, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, Paolo Banchero. You know, these are the stars of this USA team. I mean, I don't know who that guy is. I don't know who that guy is.
Let's go. I love it. Let's go. I mean,
what are y'all thoughts?
You want to go first because I love
it. The stars not playing for the USA team no more. You can't get all-stars. You can barely get superstars. I mean, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, you know, I would say they're both superstars at this point in the league. A-list names that you used to. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Ingram. You got Hope. What's his name? I'm about to call him Hoberton. I can't even say his name. The boot old dude from Indiana. Wasn't he an all-star or something like that? But no, I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's good. I mean, because we have to keep in mind this, and this is the thing that I hate to say. All of our people are getting old. We just finished talking about CP3 and the Warriors, LeBron getting old. And I mean, in basketball terms, I mean, some of them are still like 30-something, but in basketball terms, they're getting old. So it's all about protecting the body and preserving all that. Like, I think until these dudes develop into what we see these superstars are, I mean, Giannis, of course, wouldn't play for Team USA, so we lost there. And there's a lot of European players who are dominating the league. The U.S. doesn't have a lot of it. I think the only person on there, even when you look at it, are people, I would say, is Brunson, Ingram, and Anthony Edwards. They're going to be, like, to me, the future face of the league. I mean, Ja Morant would have been great for that team, but like I said, he's on his Guns N' Roses tour right now, so he cannot participate in anything for right now. So, but like, I honestly think it's a good thing. I don't think it's that bad because it gives a lot of these guys exposures that it didn't. I think I'm gonna throw this out here. This is me starting the rumor mill. Come back, Brandon Ingram to the Lakers. Austin Reeves, Brian about to leave. Let's just get this started. Go ahead, make the chemistry with Brandon Ingram and come back. Come back. That is all I want to say. Come back.
Not when you just pay Anthony Davis $2 trillion.
I love it. I love it. I love that too because it's we had no choice. And then we still keep him where we at right now. I mean, who else are we going to get the money to? So it's all right. But I love it for the fact that these young guys get their exposure. Just to kind of emphasize that. I do think it is good for us as fans to get exposed to them because we always hear, we know, once again, I keep bringing up the Lakers. The Lakers are going to dominate the headlines no matter what they do. They can be trash like last year, and people still find a way to talk about us. And I'm like, why are we even relevant? We should not be talking about us. And give these guys a chance to shine because some of these guys – and that picture you put up where the guy – I don't know who that was. I couldn't even explain to you who they are. I just know Austin Reeves, Brandon Ingram, like some of the marquee names. And I know dude from – I cannot think of dude from Indiana's name. I don't know why I can't think of his name.
I know Paolo Banchero. He was the rookie of the year in Orlando.
Yeah, who had a great season, and nobody talked about it.
So Paolo, you know what I'm saying, he's up there. We all know the Ant-Man. We all know Jalen Brunson. We all know Brandon Ingram. So, I mean.
The rest of them, I don't know. But the news
is Ant-Man, isn't that the guy from the Adam Sandler movie? Is that who he is? Yeah. That's what most people. That's what most people know him for. They don't really know him for.
Nah.
they don't know him for Minnesota. Once he leaves Minnesota, it'll be a different game. That boy got game. All I want to say about this is this. Today we have the Suarez boys on Politicking. But I would want to say this whole USA thing just reiterates what I've been saying, and I'm just going to come out here and say it again, because some of these people ain't showing up to come get this smoke, and it's okay. Y'all ain't showing up. Y'all haven't been showing up. Y'all been inconsistent on this podcast, not showing up, you know what I'm saying, and y'all got whatever reasons, but y'all like to talk. All I got to say is, once again, there is nothing that is more valuable in let me take my glasses off for this. There is nothing more valuable in the NBA than championship rings, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody cares about US basketball. If they did, guess what? The NBA players, superstars, will be playing. They got their gold championship and their medal, and then they left. All they care about is that NBA championship. So it goes back to my statement that I said there's nothing more important than NBA championships. So therefore, if you have 5 championships and your favorite player has 4 championships, guess what? The player with 5 championships is better than the one with 4 championships. Now Jordan has 6 of them, and Steph Curry can pass all of them. So that can mean Steph Curry could be better than all of them. Championships at the end of the day is all that matters. That's why nobody's playing in the in FIBA. Nobody wants to care about no gold medals anymore because gold medals don't matter as much as rings do. I am done. Rings.
If you look at it, if you remember the Dream Team, you know, they had their glory days where the Dream Team and all the top superstars all played for Team USA. And then we had a drought where America was no longer the top dog in the FIBA and in the Olympics. And it went for a while. And if you've seen the documentary on Netflix, then came the Redeem Team with D-Wade and Melo and LeBron and all of them. And then they came back and they lost the first year. And then they had to get it together and actually see and won it. And then ever since the Redeem Team broke up, you know, we kind of been getting
Time out. You said that wording all wrong. Going back to what I've said, I'm cooking because a lot of people want to try to cook on a text message. So let's cook. You said you missed out a key point, Caleb. They were Redeem Team because the man that had four of them things could not lead them to a gold medal. He had to go to the champion that had five of them things. Kobe Bryant had to join that team for them to win a gold medal. Now you can continue, sir. Five okay. is better than four.
Five now, in between that Dream Team and Redeem Team, you remember, you know, you had Coach K over there, and you had a bunch of college players and first-round rookies playing in the championship, playing in the Olympics, and that didn't really work out. So now they're looking for the first year, second year, up-and-coming superstars, you know, that level of talent. You know, what happened to like I don't know, man. I get the exposure in the NBA trying to move on from the previous superstars and build a new product. And I think that, you know, with it being a Nike product, Nike tries to choose and pick all the Nike athletes. They don't like, because you remember it was big that controversy part. For people that had other brands going over there playing for the Olympics because they couldn't rock their brand and it was a conflict with their contract.
That part. Yep.
So the people with Adidas, you know, a Steph Curry with Under Armour, a Kawhi with a New Balance, you'll have a problem going over there playing for Team USA because everything you rock over there is going to be Nike. You're going to have to hoop in Nike. It's going to have to either be Nike or Jordan.
Yep. Look how they downplayed that year. What was it, like 4 years ago? Dame was the one on the team, and they downplayed that a lot too, you know. And I think that's a really good point too because that's the other side of it. I think a lot of it is – that Nike point is a really good point, and I think it's a lot of that. I think it's the age of the current players, which ties in, you know, with what y'all saying. I think it's a lot of that, you know what I'm saying, because they're just focused on winning their rings. And that's why I said the best thing about it is you get to get the exposure to with these young guys because they still enjoy the game in the sense of – I don't want to take it away from the vets saying they don't enjoy the game because that's disrespectful. But I just say from a fan perspective, you still get to see – like I get why the vets gotta protect their body, you know, versus the era that we'll talk about Jordan and then where they just nah, we gonna go get it done. I think those days are gone to where you gotta watch it. But I love that point with Nike because I think that has a lot to do with it. It's just about branding because social media, as good as it is, I do think it's ruined the league a little bit too because now it is so much about my brand and what I can do to get my face out there, which is I can't be mad at that, you know, from a
standpoint. I don't even know the numbers, but if we look at the roster and we see how many of those people have a deal with Nike, I guarantee 80% of the team got a deal with Nike.
Yeah, I think that's a
but they can't one. Even but they can't even snag like I don't even think this person has a deal. I have to look it up. But the best up and comer last year, and I've been telling Devontae this for a long time now, and he argued me with his boy that plays on the Chicago Bulls that's just trash. The best up and comer last year was D Fox. Is he on the team?
No, he is not. I don't know. I don't know why
D Fox. I mean, D Fox is not on the team. I don't think he has a Nike or anybody contract. And he ain't even wrong thing.
I know one of y'all brought up John Morant earlier. I mean, we all know that he got the deal from Nike right after Kyrie Irving and basically took his whole shoe and they just gave it to John Morant. You know what I'm saying? Nike's slimy like that. And for Ja to even take that design, I would have been like, hold up. I ain't going to just take Kyrie's shoe. They just took Kyrie's shoe and gave it to John Morant. But one of y'all brought up that he would be perfect for this team as far as being like the top superstar. Yeah, and given that he got that Nike deal, I think that that's what they will be wishing for. But because he wanted to play bang, bang, shoot him up, you know, he got this suspension.
Cause and effect, cause and effect. I think it's one of those things. This Ja Morant thing is a flip side with somewhat with the Tory thing too. But I think every action has a you know reaction because one thing. There's two things I love about the USA team that we always get to see. You're always gonna see one superstar come out of this and they propel like majorly. It's like they got together with those guys and they took a big leap and like they have like just a great season. The other side of it, what was just mentioned, is you have a superstar, like let's say Ja Morant, who would have played, this would have put his brand at a whole nother level internationally. So you start to get that exposure there. So it's one of those things to where, look, man, you got to watch the things you do because one of these players is going to skyrocket out of it. And who that is, that remains to be seen. Personally, I think it's going to be Ant and R. Ingram.
And I think it's going to be Jalen Brunson. I think him in New York. Him leaving Luka, you know what I'm saying? Him taking the Knicks as far as they did in the playoffs. I think that he got a lot of buzz right now going this next 2 years. Brunson, I think that Jalen Brunson is a fan favorite right now.
The disrespect. He got a lot.
As they say, they call it motion. If you're looking at those players right now, who got the most motion right now, I'll have to say Jalen Brunson.
The disrespect. Jalen Brunson didn't get him as far as Derrick Rose did. No, don't mute me because I'm going to go back to one more point. You're talking about you. Ja don't have to worry about Brandon, ladies and gentlemen. You know why Ja doesn't have to worry about Brandon? Who is the biggest brand next to the third biggest brand? Next to Kobe Bryant and Jordan in the international game. Oh, his name is Derrick Rose. Yes, he is one of the biggest stars up in China, ladies and gentlemen. So you think Ja Morant really has to worry about his brand in international when he has Derrick Rose as his mentor now? Let's talk about it.
He ain't Rui Hachimura.
All right, man. Somehow y'all brings up Derrick Rose like five times.
He got a way.
What the topic is?
Tie Derrick Rose. We're talking about what the next topic. Derrick Rose gonna be tied in some way.
He's molding him right now. Guns and Roses, baby. Guns and Roses.
All right, man. So
I'm just getting myself ready for the documentary. So when it goes, there it goes.
So let's get to the NFL, man. You know, we got NFL preseason starting this weekend. We got games, man. Just about everybody going to be playing this week. We're going to get our first action at a lot of these rookies, a lot of these people in New Jerseys. Who are your Super Bowl bets right now, man? Who do you pick to win the Super Bowl going forward? I just want to throw mine out there right now. The 49ers will finally prevail, get back to the Super Bowl. We lost four quarterbacks in 1 year and still made it to the NFC Championship game. So that tells you how much talent that we got. We just got to stay healthy at the quarterback position, and that's probably been our biggest hurdle. We got Trey Lance. We got Brock Purdy. We got Sam Darnold. So we got three solid starting quarterbacks at this point. So I think that the 49ers will get over the hump. And I think that we're going to get that rematch against the Chiefs. So I got the 49ers versus the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And I got the 49ers pulling it out this time. But I think Brock Purdy eventually will get pulled. And we're going to do it with a black quarterback behind the helm. We're going to do it with Trey Lance, man. pulling it out, Niners getting the championship, and then the Niners putting all that draft capital and spending all that to go get them, I think definitely it's going to pay off. What you got, y'all? Take that hat off, son.
I ain't even going to say nothing. It's 12th man nation. That's it. I don't care what the none of y'all say. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the 12th man. I would never go against the 12th man. You ain't a 12th man if you go against and pick another team. So it don't matter. That's all I'm saying. Get the camera out of my face. Matter of fact, put the camera back in my face. Why isn't the camera in my face? Okay, let y'all see. I'm done.
You seriously can't think that the Seahawks have a chance. I mean,
he does. Put the camera back in my face. Put the camera back in my face.
Devontae, your camera off.
Okay. let's get to first of all.
I'm serious.
I like
Devontae, your camera off.
Oh, my bad. I lit this candle, y'all, and I keep having to sneeze. I was like, I shouldn't have lit this candle. So let me break it down. First of all, the Seahawks, that would be a super surprise. I like the 49ers pick. I like that pick. I think that's a really good pick. I think it's still up there where you can flip with 49ers. The Chiefs, that's like a given. Just they're not even in the equation. Just throw them out. They're going to be mentioned no matter what. And I like the Bengals that just came up there. I would like to see Lamar sneak in there. But I am secretly rooting for the Eagles. I have a couple of dark horses, which would be I would like to think maybe the Cowboys sneak in there some way. Maybe. You never know. I do think the Bengals is a team to watch out. I think they can come strong this year. I know the quarterback had that injury earlier, but like we'll see how that goes. If we're going to throw the Seahawks out there as a Raiders fan, let me just throw the Raiders out there. If we're just throwing Seahawks out there.
No. I have logic behind what I said. I have logic behind what I said.
I mean, we can just throw anybody out there. I just want everybody to know the reason that the Raiders are going to make it, Derrick Rose will secretly lead the Raiders to a Super Bowl victory because he will find a way to come to Raider Nation in Vegas and just lead us to victory, him and Jai Morant, because he's mentoring Jimmy G. I just think at the end
you
of
guys
the day,
use Derrick Rose in the wrong manner.
I'm just going off of this given. I just think at the end of the day, I like the 49ers pick. I think there's a couple dark horses out there, but I like to see even if Niners, Eagles, the Bengals, any one of those, you can flip it to win it if it can't be my Raiders. So
I think that
there's only one true bird that flies, and it's not going to be the Ravens, it's going to be the Seahawks.
I think that Joe Burrow is a dark horse, man. I think that he's coming for one, and if anybody gonna knock off Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, I think that it's going to be Joe Burrow. So, I mean, the Bengals is my hot pick.
And if you look at
the Cowboys, you know, Jerry Jones typically is cheap, man. He won't spend the money. He never spent the money. He always wanted to make his players homegrown. And finally, he's been dishing that dough out. He's been getting players every year. And he's been trying to win in this window. And I think that Dak coming off that year where he threw all those interceptions, you know what I'm saying? And he was injured, only played in like 12, 13 games. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know what I'm saying? What was it, his hand? He broke his hand?
I think it was his hand. And that's what the Cowboys, that game with them in the Niners? I think that's who they played last game of the season. I got to see them redeem themselves from that, because that was just you got to – And because the 49ers, that's why I think that's such a strong pick, because the Niners, you can't really argue with that pick. I just think if the Cowboys want to assert their dominance, some of these top teams, they're going to have to come smack them up. And the Niners is the first team. The last time we saw the Cowboys was that terrible play at the end. And And if you go play, I don't even know what their schedule like. Let's just say hypothetically they play the Niners sometime in the season there. They probably do. I don't know. I got to look at it. But if they do, you better smack the Niners. And I don't see that happening because that defense is ridiculous. It's like, so – and you couldn't even do it when they didn't really – they bought it. What was the third string quarterback? Second, like, you know what I'm saying? Even though he was phenomenal.
Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick of the draft.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to come back as a Cowboy. And if you don't, as just from a Cowboys perspective, in my mind, assert dominance. And the only way to really do that is beating some of the hierarchy teams, because I think it is like a lock right now in the NFL to, I don't see a sleeper team really sneaking in there. I mean, the Jets may do something, but that, once again,
I mean, we're not even talking about the Jets. We got to – I don't believe it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is what, 41, 42? I mean, I know Tom Brady just did that in Tampa, but Tom Brady's the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? And
Aaron ain't doing that. Aaron ain't doing that.
I just don't see Aaron Rodgers having the same type of success. Mm-hmm. But then you remember Brett Favre. We didn't think he was going to have no success. And he went over there to the Vikings and balled out.
Yep,
that, they didn't win no Super Bowl, but he had some magical plays and had a hell of a run.
You're right. I think it's gonna be a good season, though. I just don't see nobody. You can point like putting Kansas City to the side, the Bengals, the Niners.
What about Baltimore?
Baltimore is my sleeper. That's one of my I kind of threw out there. I think I may have mentioned him as a dark horse because I want to see Lamar. That it's revenge season. Like I want to see him come back and like just ball out like y'all didn't want to pay me, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I had to pick any team to win the Super Bowl, I would love them to win. If I had to just say I want a team to win the Super Bowl, that's who I want to win the Super Bowl this year. Like, everybody, like, only reason I'm throwing the Eagles out, I was so inspired by Jalen Hurts' performance. Like last season, I thought he's like in that Super Bowl, I thought he gave it all he got. Like, and I wish they could have like did it. But like Baltimore, man, I would love to see Lamar come back after what he went through and just, man, what is this man frozen?
All right, man, let's get to this. It's Tory Lane news, man. So this Tory Lane Megan Thee Stallion thing's been going on for what, like 2.5 or 3 years now? We know he was found guilty of shooting her, which most people already suspected that he was guilty of. But now he has been sentenced to 10 years in prison. What are your thoughts on that, man? Do you think that, is it justified? Do you think that is a harsh sentence? How are y'all looking at this whole scenario as far as Tory Lanez, you know, being found guilty and being sentenced to 10 years in prison?
Man, I think it's a good like lesson learned to really be like, and man, first of all, I'm not gonna even get on. I'm gonna try to do this without saying this is right, this is wrong. Ultimately, I hate to see it go down the way it all did. It shouldn't have went down through social media. It shouldn't have happened anyway. Got a lot of feelings and liquor, and I know it's a lot of he said, she said things that people going out there, but at the end of the day, like, you got to be mindful of your surroundings and the people you're around. I think it sucks, man, and I think it really, I say that because I'm not an advocate of seeing anyone black. I'm gonna say this what first. If you do some dumb stuff, you're gonna have to pay the consequences for it. But I'm not an advocate of seeing anybody black like just go through dumb stuff. And I hate to see a black woman feel like she wasn't protected. I hate to see a black man feel like not all the stories being put out like that. I hate the image that it gives as far as like black media altogether. And I hate that 10 years, I didn't even think that would be the cause. I literally thought he was gonna get something, slap on the wrist or something, and that would be it. But I didn't know but it seemed like they were trying to press him real hard. So it's a lot. I think it's a sad situation, and it's hard because the other side of it is just like, I don't know all the story, because I feel like it's so much he said, she said with all that story. It's a weird story to me personally. I just feel like it's just sad. Like, at the end of the day, it's sad. And I'm not more sympathy to one over the other. I'm just more for a community. When I look at it as black community altogether, it's sad that I don't think we should have to be exposed and stuff. And I'm tired of seeing us in situations like that, but it's about the people around you. So I'll just leave it at that without trying to say something to single some weird celebrity out or everyone like that, because it's just a confusing situation and it sucks. So
yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I didn't really look into it because I'm like, neither of these people do anything for me, and I barely even listen to either of their music, so like it really didn't do anything. But when I was looking into it, it just was just so confusing. And it was like one statement is talking about, no, he didn't shoot me, I fell on the glass. And then the next statement is like, no, he did shoot me and he shot me from the back seat and I was in the front seat and it was four of us in the car. And then, no, I lied, and that's because I lied because I didn't want the police to come because I didn't want to get shot and killed because there was a black man with a gun. So and we know how that plays out. So yes, he really did shoot me. And then something, a report of him making up allegations, and then him saying he's going to pay her off, and then her saying that. It was just a lot. And I was like, I don't even got time for that. And I think for myself, like, I just think as I am a black man in America, and I know I have to move a certain way. Is life fair for a black man in America? No. And I even looked up some stuff like, yo, is he really supposed to get, I guess it was at a, he could have got up to 25 years or something like that. And some of those charges, I'm like, dang, that's what they be giving, like felons and like misdemeanor Bs or something like that, only gets like 3 years or something crazy like that. And I just think about for myself, you just got to watch and how you put yourself in certain positions. Does it suck that he got 10 years? I don't know. At the end of the day, you put yourself in that position by shooting a gun at somebody's feet. Now, did you really shoot the gun or not? I have no idea, because I didn't see anything that said like, oh, they found the bullet shells or anything like that. And I like, it's all over the place. But you put yourself in that position in a way because you were drunk. And supposedly you yelled out, dance, bitch, dance. And you shot at somebody. So you put yourself in that position. Well, it's unfair of the charges he got. But if he didn't shoot at her, he would have got no charges. So it just reminds me, it's not fair for a black man in America. You got to make sure that your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted. And when you make sure of that, yes, it will still be unfair for you, but you won't be put in some bull BS that you shouldn't be in. 10 years is a long time. 10 years from now, I will be, what, 45 years old. That is a long time.
I think it comes down to the behavior that led up to this. You sneaking and smashing. The sneaky link thing is popular nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Then you over there and you at the pool party and you start messing with the other girl when you came with this girl. Then she leaves. Then she come back tripping. Then y'all tripping. Then y'all fight. And then she jump on you and now you shoot her. Why are you trying to have all the hoes, man? Like, niggas be trying to have too many hoes. And now you in jail for 10 years because you thought you was Mac of the year trying to have all the hoes. I mean, is having hoes that serious?
Not 10 years serious.
Doing too much. It's one of those things, man. Like, it's just doing too much. That's why I said, man, like, I think from a standpoint of it, like, I think it's all sad all around. But the one thing I continue to point out is that, like, like, I think the importance of, like, as you know, I'll say it like this. We were just had a situation. We had to take my father-in-law to the hospital earlier this morning. And when we were there, it was this man, and I'm assuming she was his wife. I don't know what the connection she was with him. And she was had to go back, you know what I'm saying, the emergency room. And they asked the guy, do you want to go? And the guy do a big old fit. I don't even want to be here. Like, it seemed like the lady's injury was bothering him being there. And I was like, that's the most weakest thing in the world. And I think a lot of times we have these weak tendencies as men. And like, where we like, I'm not, and this is not dissolving women of sins, like they don't do anything. I'm just speaking directly to men, as sometimes we got to watch ourselves. And with this Tory Lanez thing, what it points out to me, the one thing I don't like about it is that as a man, we, as a black man, my brother said it, thank you, just said it. It's just the mindfulness of things. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what privilege that he think that he had, where he can roll like that. And then you, now you want to sneak around, you hooking up with her or her friend, yada, yada, this, that, that. And it's like, what are we trying to do? What is this conquering mentality that we trying to do? Like, grow the fuck up. Like, real talk. Like, just grow the fuck up. Like, it's weak behavior and it's just not tolerated no more. And I just think at this point, it's like, what do we do to be better for ourselves and our community in the sense of like, and it starts with you. It really starts with you. So I think when you out there bullshitting, when you out there doing extra shit, and you trying to like prove whatever your masculinity looks like and all that weak shit to me, like just that weirdo shit of trying to like, this is how dominant I am as a man. This is the fucking results you can get sometimes. And I think it's a sad situation. And, you know, I don't wish that on nobody, but I do think that from just looking at it from a protection of women, having sisters, having a niece, having a wife who I love, like, and then seeing something today with a man, I would never put my woman in a situation where she didn't feel safe. That's just me.
I feel it. Cause I don't know. It's just, I know it's all cultures that cheat. You know what I'm saying? White people have the biggest divorce rate. They have infidelity all the damn time, but in their culture, they don't just push in having the hoes. White girls are notorious for being some of the most sluttiest girls out there. But they don't promote as a culture of just being hoes. You know what I'm saying? And now you got like Sexy Red and all these other girls putting all this other type of music, talking about eating ass and doing all type of shit. It's like, I mean, this is what the kids are growing up on. This is what the kids are aspiring to be. This is the type of women and the type of men that our culture is breeding.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest problem here is not about Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez. It's about that type of woman and that type of man in this industry that is the examples for these children. And that's the scariest part of all of this. You know what I'm saying? They're both in the wrong as far as this whole scenario. At the end of the day, when it comes to a weapon, whether you meant to shoot her or not, you know what I'm saying? You could have hit an artery and killed her. I mean, every time you pull a trigger, it could take a life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Intentional or unintentional.
That's, you know, you just gave me a thought too, bro. Like, it's, you remember how we grew up, are you 80s, 90s babies? You remember like when, like being like, it's still there. I'm not going to say there's no gang culture, but like when you look it back from the 80s, 90s, just the gangsterness. But you remember how you used to like, it was like when people fronted, they used to go pull their car. Like, you ain't really like that. And I think that is the image that we're all kind of talking about. We keep putting these images out there like, oh, this speaks for all the black community. Like, no, it don't. Like, we, and then I love the consciousness, especially that this platform gives, because it's like, now we don't fuck with that shit. Like, not everybody fucks with that shit. Like, stop saying like we all fuck with it. Nah, this don't. And being black, my version of blackness, y'all's version of blackness is gonna be different in our household. But one thing we come to, there's certain shit, weirdo behavior, we don't fuck with that shit. Like, yo, like that's not cool, bro. Like, what the fuck you mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know no dudes out there who like when motherfuckers put their hands on a one for the woman, like, yeah, bro, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I know a bunch of women who'd be like, girl, put your hands on him, and like just vice versa. Like, the domestic violence is never tolerated in any way, shape, or form. And I think the consciousness now where we at as a people is just calling out that goofy weirdo behavior of like, nah, we're not fucking with that, yo. Like, stop that. Get your shit together. Like,
type. And then the saddest part about it is what I read up on it. She said there was four people in a car. One of the, it was her friend, Tory Lanez, and her. And that fourth person in the car was his bodyguard. So why do you have the gun? What is your bodyguard for? Allegedly, she hit him. That's allegedly. So if she hit you, what's your bodyguard doing? Why didn't your bodyguard have the possession of the gun and not you? Why is your bodyguard not going, yo, no. Hey, Lanez, put that down.
Your circle of people, man. You need to, like, I would hope that, like, yo, we all out somewhere, like, and I'm on some goofy shit. Let's just say I'm on some goofy shit. I'm here drunk too much and stuff, and I'm acting, doing some dumb shit. I would hope that y'all have my back enough to be like, yo, bro, calm down. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's accountability on certain things. And I think that's just where it's missing, because all the cultures, they gonna run and do how they do. But I think with us as Black people, I think it's us holding us accountable on things. And just because at this point, it's all of us to take care of us and look out for us to make sure that we are not put in any of these situations where another Black man loses 10, 20, 30 years of his life. Because Tory also has a kid that I don't know how that's going to affect that at all, but it's just sad, man.
So speaking of Black people looking out for ourselves, we got to get to this Alabama boat brawl, man. So I guess in Alabama, a boat was with some Caucasian, you know, family was docking their boat, and it was a tour boat that had to dock in that location. The security guard told them that they had to move their boat because the boat had to dock there. They ensued on arguing with the security guard, and they just start to jump them. And out of nowhere, Black people all came in, man, start packing them out, you know what I'm saying, defending, you know, the security guard, and it turned into a whole brawl, man. And of course, Unc came out with the big chair, cracking people over the head. Unc went crazy. Unc with the extras. That's what we call with the extras. You know what I'm saying? The extracurricular activities. Unc came with that chair going crazy. And Black people are still watching this daily, smiling at it. I'm smiling right now, because we're just looking at the pictures, man.
It's beautiful. It
definitely brings a smile to Black people's face.
It's beautiful. I love it.
What are your thoughts on this Alabama?
You know why it brings a smile to people's face? I think it brings a smile to people's face because, like how you said, the uncle with the chair, right? This reminds me of when me and my brother used to sit down and watch, before it was WWE, it was WWF. That picture right there reminds me of tables, ladders, and chair match. That's what that reminds me of. He went WWF and started bringing out the chair and started knocking people's heads off. And I was seeing like the interview and stuff, and like when you interview like when the white people were getting interviewed that were on the boat and stuff like that, they were like, oh my gosh, they were just jumping that man and they were just beating up on that man. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's so wrong. And then like the captain was like, I was just like, no. And I called the police. And then one person, they called him Aquaman. Like the kid jumped off the boat, swam over there to go get busy. Like, to go to that man's aid. And like the dude was just doing his job. And how many times as Black people that we just doing our job, you right? And it goes back down to, no, nigga, you can't tell me what to do. You don't tell me what to do. I do what I want to do. And they attacked the man. And the community came and protected the man. And then the mayor, which is a Black man, I believe, he goes, well, there will be consequences for everybody that got in a fight. At one point in time, like, when is there such thing as a community self-defense? Because what What are they supposed to do? Like, the mayor coming out saying everybody gonna get in trouble. And my whole thinking of it is, you about to, everybody that ran to that guy's aid and helped out, why do they get in trouble? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Why are they getting in trouble for helping this man out? You know, okay, using the chair, that may be a little much, but it was nice. Maybe you shouldn't have used the chair, but at the same time as you're using the chair, right? I remember, you know, one parenting rule that I got from my parents was, if you get in a fight and you got to match force with force. So there ain't nothing, there's no such thing as a clean street fight. So him picking up a chair, was it really that bad? No, because actually when the black guy was getting jumped, a white lady came over and kicked him in his face. Uh-huh. So I call it a community self-defense.
Look, I want to say I wore this because, you know what I'm saying, Jackie Robinson, you know what I'm saying, that chair was Jackie swinging the bat, you know what I'm saying? That chair was for all of us. My favorite part of the brawl was the brother who went, Nemo, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. That was my favorite part, you know what I'm saying? Am I my brother keeper? Yes, I am. I started like saying this. There was a time my brother went to the store to return something. Me and my baby sister talk about it all the time. My brother, being as nice as he was just trying to return something. The store clerk got an attitude with my brother. And we was like, oh. And then she did it a second time. We was like, oh. And then she did it a third time. We said, DeAndre, put that thing on speaker. This man would not put the phone on speaker because he knew. He knew what was going to happen to this lady. It was like, she had too many times to be rude to our brother. And the thing is, what I love about black people, what I love about us is, like, if we don't fool with you, we don't fool with you. But when you mess with one of us, and we don't see that as justified, like, oh, well, he justified to get that one. But that wasn't a justified, that one, he was, y'all trying to gang up on the brother. That ain't justified. Oh, you want to take that? That's my cousin you trying to come at. So then let me go ahead and swim across that. Okay, I can't find, oh, ma'am, are you using this chair? Let me get this chair real quick. See, when I hit you with this chair, this is chair represents the seat that y'all told Rosa to take. So we just going to swing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I love every minute of it. It's a Mother Teresa quote that I pulled up. She says, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters that can create many ripples. This was many ripples in effect, y'all. And I loved every minute of it because it just shows, like, us in all of our glory as black people. Like, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. We be trying to mind our business, too. But that brother, he told y'all to move this out the way. Y'all didn't want to move it out the way. And you know what I'm saying? And I knew it was going. Now, first of all, the minute that brother do it, that hat up like that, I was like, oh, snap, it's about to go down. Now, I woke up at, like, I was getting up from work. I woke up about 3 or 4 o'clock. My wife was kind of up early, and she's like, babe, you see this video, the Alabama video? I was like, what you talking about? She showed me the thing, and I was like, and my heart was like, I thought it was a situation. I was like, they're about to jump this black man. I was like, please don't show me that. I don't want to see that. And like I said, I saw that brother come over there. And I saw a brother swimming. I was like, and I felt like I was there. I was swinging. I was like, yo, I was there because it was just a beautiful thing to see. It sucks. I'm not condoning no violence, but they came out. They don't start no shit. Won't be no shit, y'all. Don't start no shit. Won't be no shit. I don't. Look, I'm a firm believer. Look, I ain't trying to fight. I ain't trying to do anything. But if you put your hands on my brother, I ain't about to let you jump my brother. I ain't about to let anybody black just sit there and get jumped on if I can help it and if I can stop it in my power. You know what I'm saying? And I hope the people learned a lesson that day. I hope they learn. Don't fuck with black people and think you can just get your way, because we ain't tolerating that shit.
And what I love the most about it, all hands. Well, take the chair out. It's all hands. Ain't no guns involved or nothing. It was straight up scrap for scrap. And did y'all see the black dude that slammed the body slammed the person, and then the one white lady that got thrown back in the water?
Did you see how they ran up on the boat and start punching them when they was on the boat? I mean, it went down. I mean, it's not to glorify them punching on white people, because that's not what we're doing here. It's just the fact that the community is actually moving towards becoming a community. You know what I'm saying? It's been a culture, but it hasn't been a community. The community part of it has been missing for a while now. And I think that after George Floyd, you know what I'm saying, it's just an unwritten or unspoken word where, you know what I'm saying, black people, we ain't going to sit back and watch another George Floyd. You ain't going to be able to put your knee on his neck for 10 minutes like you did that. We're not going to sit back and just allow that. And we did, and we tried to, and we seen what happened with George Floyd. So given that going forward, I don't think that we're just going to sit back and allow stuff to happen, you know what I'm saying, like that to our people no more. And I think that that's more of what we're smiling at right now, is that everybody felt it, everybody knew it, but nobody really talked about it or said it out loud. But this was just a demonstration of, hey, man, we ain't going to just let y'all do our people anyway no more. Y'all ain't about to just be, you know what I'm saying, doing that. And we had a history of turning the other cheek, because we don't want that on our record. It's already hard enough to get a job. You know, that's going to fuck up opportunities for us, or we're just worried about our own future. But at the end, you know what I'm saying, if we don't protect our own, then we ain't going to have our own. You know what I'm saying? And that's real.
And can we talk about, just to tie off that too, because that was beautifully said, can we talk about what we do as a people too? Because black people are the same ones. We'll put the hands on you. We'll beat that ass. But then the recreation video, where they making fun of the video, I said, that's the other side of black people's life. Because that's when you got to come back to the family reunion. Y'all remember what got his ass whipped when he got out of line? Because that's what that video is. So it's kind of like one of those things. Like, I love us as a people and as a community, because the unity.
That video reminded me of my family on a family reunion. So it was a time when one of my cousins, he got in a fight at school and got knocked downstairs, and he broke both of his arms, so he had a cast on both of his arms for like 3 months. So he couldn't wipe his own ass. He had to, you know, shower. His mom had to shower him. It was like an ugly situation. So we at the family reunion, we all kicking it. We see my cousin show up with her boyfriend and a couple niggas. We ain't thinking nothing of it, but we just see my cousin reaction when he see this one dude. And we like, what's happening? What's going on? What happened? He's like, that's the dude that knocked me down the stairs. I immediately got my other cousins. Hey, this nigga just thought he was about to walk up in here. Come on, let's get it. So my cousin like, nah, he knocked me down the stairs. I gotta be the one to start it off. You know, and the dude came back out from doing his round saying, I had everybody. And as soon as he came out, my cousin fired on him. And his homeboys ran up, like, hey, what's going on? And we just fired on them too. And it was just like, what's happening? And in the middle of the conversation, it was like, nigga, you knocked me down the stairs. You think you broke both my arms? You think you finna just show up to my family reunion? And we had to pack them out. And it wasn't like his homeboys didn't deserve it, but you came with the wrong nigga.
It's wrong time, wrong place.
Hey,
it's
like, you know, hey, you remember the time when we used to play the neighborhood football? So we used to play, me and Devontae, we used to play neighborhood football. And with neighborhood football, you know, you have your neighborhood and we go around other people's neighborhoods and we play street football. And whoever wins, we get to say we claim your block, right? So we playing, I was like super young, but I was super fast. So Devontae used to be like, yo, all you got to do is just burn your man, and I'm just going to throw you the ball deep every time. And we did that, and we won the neighborhood. Well, one of the dudes, he picked up a pine cone, and he chucked it at me. And boom, it hit me in the middle of my head, and it knocked me out. Right? Next thing I know, next thing I come back, all I see is my brother and the rest of our neighborhood just on a dude in their whole neighborhood. Just be like, nah, man, you mess with one, you gotta mess with everybody.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I love the fact, like, even, you know, my brother brought it up. It was hands. It was nobody got shot. Nobody got that. It was just an old school, like, yo, let's just settle this how it is. And I mean, of course, like we're saying, nobody wants to say, oh, let's settle everything with fighting. Nah, nobody's saying that because it is caused a time where those people didn't want to listen. They put their hands on that man first and they attacked that man and people came to his defense. And I think that's ultimately what that is. And I think that and it wasn't just people, it was black people, and it was beautiful to see because, like, we don't see images. This is once again the importance of this platform. This is the importance of this channel, is because it's our people giving the news, our people doing this, and just we don't see this all the time. So, like, just that I look at it as a black positivity moment. I hope Black History Month come around and there's all this is such anniversary of what happened in Alabama, you know what I'm saying? Because I cherish that moment. I hope it keeps going. I hope we celebrate it once a year. I hope this is a thing. And I hope the people who got their ass whooped learn their lesson of, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? We was out of pocket. And I would like this. Personally, I don't think it should. I ain't hoping for nobody apology. But the motherfuckers I hope they do something when they go apologize to that man, because they was out of pocket. And they deserve the ass whooping that they got. So,
y'all know the old WWF, when the whole black group, we are the nation, a domination.
Mm-hmm. Throwback, man. Shit, man, that chair going down in history, man. The memes for the chair, man, is ridiculous. Like, when they had the chair with some black forces on and a wave cat, I said, black people can't take shit serious. Like, that one thing that black people gonna do is make fun of some shit no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what. Good, bad, ugly, the worst. Niggas is gonna clown. All right, let's get some shout outs before we get up out of here.
Man, shout out to you gentlemen. Love jumping on here every Wednesday. Unity is the way to go. I love how you said about Rosa Parks and the chair. That just reminds me of just a reminder that we ain't sitting no more. We swinging them things. So keep swinging. Keep doing your thing, Caleb, having us all come together because we need it. We need community. It's important. I know for myself, like today, literally today, my neighbor came over and was like, hey, could you help jump my car? And I'm like, okay, cool. So I went over to help jump her car. And it wasn't jumping. I was like, what you need to jump for? And she ended up telling me, man, I'm trying to make this interview. I was like, oh, you going on a job interview? And she's like, yeah, I got to be there by this time. And so I ended up coming in, telling my wife. I took my neighbor to her job interview, like 30 minutes away, community. Took her to her interview. She got the job. On the way back, I blew a tire. So now I'm on the side of the road. Got my tire fixed. Both came home. It's community. So keep building your communities in little ways. And it's no more of I'm doing it by myself, because you never do it by yourself. Yes, Kobe was right. There is no I in team. There is a me. But that me means what are you going to do to help out and better the team?
That's right. It is community. No ego, amigo. That's what we always say. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's obedience is better than sacrifice. So I just always I appreciate this, man. I appreciate this podcast. I appreciate this platform. I appreciate this because this is a site for our people, a news set that you just give is real people giving real news and from their perspective. And, you know, dang, appreciate you having me, bro. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate y'all, you know what I'm saying, just having me on this thing. I appreciate the community I'm learning to build with y'all, you know what I'm saying? And I love it, man. I just want to shout out, of course, always my wife, you know what I'm saying, my family, you know what I'm saying, my brother. I get to appreciate that. I appreciate the new brothers I'm building here. And I encourage y'all, you know what I'm saying, to always keep gratitude, stay hungry, stay humble, and just what my brother just said, man, just always look forward to pay it forward, because it's our job to take care of our community, man, and it starts with you. And it's some days you ain't gonna want to do it. Some days it's like, man, I just want to sleep, because I show was like tired. I've been up since 4, but I was like, nah, I gotta get on with them today. I need this, and I needed this charge. So I just appreciate y'all tremendously.
Shout out to y'all brothers for joining me. You know, we got castmates that come and go. I know everybody got their life, you know what I'm saying? And that's probably been the biggest hurdle with this platform, is that in a consistent cast, like, the, you know, the format's there, the production's there, the structure's there. We just need motherfuckers that's going to take it seriously, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to y'all brothers for joining me for the show. You know what I'm saying? One of the hardest things I got to do is celebrate my victories. And I've grown substantially, but I'm still not where I want to be. And I think that because I'm so far ahead in my mind, I'm already at the finish line. It's hard for me to enjoy, or, you know what I'm saying, really, you know, stop and smell the roses. So that's one thing that I'm truly trying to focus on, is I'm really about to slow down mentally and really embrace, you know, where I'm at now, and really try to fall back in love with the journey, you know, because the stress and the life, and, you know what I'm saying, and the responsibilities, and everybody looking at you sometimes like you to answer, you know, at my job. The job I have is a high stress job. There's 5 of us in the department. It's over 2,000 employees. So the things that we do is high stress. And then to turn that off and to turn into creative mode sometimes is a haggle, because you just want to mentally, mental stress is completely different from physical stress. If I had a physically daunting job, I think that it would be a lot easier to create. But when you mentally burnt out, it's hard to do anything, man. So I'm trying to pay more attention to my own mindset and taking care of my own mental. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm in this grind for the long haul. You know what I'm saying? You only lose when you give up. Ain't no such thing as failure. There's only lessons to be learned. You know, and I take my victories and my losses on the chin and keep it pushing. As far as the community I build, you know what I'm saying, my brothers that didn't make it to the podcast, they know they always welcome. And whenever, you know what I'm saying, their life reaches a point where they can come on here, you know what I'm saying, the invite is always extended every week, whether they make it on here or not. So, you know what I'm saying, shout out to y'all. And shout out to my wife, man. You know what I'm saying, always there, always holding me down. We go through our ups and downs just like everybody, you know what I'm saying, but to have that solid person in your corner, you know what I'm saying, it's always a blessing. So shout out to my wife. But right when we get off this, you know what I'm saying, the grind don't stop. We got 1,000 other things to get to, man. I don't know what y'all gonna do with y'all life, but I'm gonna get to it, man. Politics in the podcast. We out.